Morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Now, how was your weekend? Did you have a good one?
We did. I took my son to the Batman movie yesterday afternoon, and it was a long movie, but it was good.
Mm. Good to hear. And you're gearing up for hockey weekend next weekend with the Frozen Four, I'm sure.
Correct. Yeah, it should be fun.
All right. Let's talk about this last week at the legislative session. The big thing was the reinsurance bill got passed through. Tell us about that.
Well, the reinsurance is something we started, I think, back in, I think it was 17. And after the ACA was passed on a federal level, Affordable Care Act, kind of messed with what we already did here in Minnesota for pre-existing conditions and people that were kind of stuck in that no man's land on health insurance. And we had some steep programs that we had to do away with when the Obamacare or the ACA came up. And if you remember back, 15 and 16, we were experiencing double-digit health care insurance costs. And, we had reports of some regions having as high as 46% increases in care costs for their insurance. And obviously we can't continue at that rate, so we came up with this plan called reinsurance. And what reinsurance does is has a state pay at a certain level to a certain level. So the insurance companies put a claim in, the state reimburses them, and then it keeps the insurance down for everybody else. And imperfect plan, in theory it's awful. But we haven't seen a better plan. It's been emulated across the country. And in fact, there's proposals on the federal level from one of our congressmen here in Minnesota in D.C. to do it nationwide. So something that you hate to do, but you don't have any other options. No one's come up with a better solution. So we do it.
Just certainly could understand under the circumstances. We've had that the rapid inflation followed by a pandemic, and putting that as a temporary fix is certainly understandable. But you mentioned nobody has a better idea. Is this going to be the way of the future, or do you think there is a better idea out there that might someone might float at one time?
Well, I think there's polar opposites. I think the Republicans feel there's some free market solutions. In my opinion, we've kind of taken what things cost off the table. No one really knows what anything costs. There's no more competition anymore. You're seeing more and more hospital groups buy out the smaller hospitals and clinics, and it's just the big boys left that are controlling everything. And then the other side wants a one-payer system that the government decides what you do, kind of like if you go to the VA, you have an option there. It would be that for the whole country. I belong to a group, a bipartisan group, that tries to work on those issues in Minnesota here and in D.C., but there hasn't been any compromise so far.
All right, let's move on. We passed another deadline of getting bills introduced last Friday. You are known as a rather prolific bill writer. You write quite a few over the course of the legislative session. What have been, things that you've been working on that got through gotten through the two deadlines so far?
Well, what you're trying to work on are provisions of your bills to get stuck into. All the committees have what we call a policy or a supplemental finance bill. So up today in finance, I have my housing bill up, the agriculture bill will be up, and then the environment bill will be up. So if you have subject matter in any of those three subjects, you're lobbying to get your provisions included in the chair's bill in those subject matters. And then the last stop before it goes to the floor is the Finance Committee. So my housing bill will be, you know, my home ownership housing bill will be up today in finance. And then I have a mental health bill. We're kind of running a bunch of senators' concepts on mental health and concepts as one bill. And I'm chief authoring that, and I'll be up on Health and Human Services this afternoon with that bill.
I want to talk a little bit more about those bills. You mentioned the bill regarding home ownership, and what does that entail?
Quite a bit, and you know, it's one of my passions. I believe the great equalizer is getting people on that home ownership path, and rent costs so darn much today. You know, it's awful, and if we can get people to purchase a home and pay less than rent, and then they can start building equity and be part of a community. You know, especially up here in the metro, there's a large gap between homeowners and non-homeowners. And when you dig into that a little farther, there tends to be a huge gap, the worst in the country, on African-American homeownership versus Caucasians. So Minneapolis, St. Paul is the worst in the country in home ownership for African-Americans. Worst in the country. Wow. As a state overall, you know, we usually rank fifth or sixth worst, but in the metro. So for me, you really want to help people. Obviously, you need a great education system. You need a career path job, and then you need a pathway to home ownership.
All right, let's talk about the mental health bill. You know, that has been talked about so much in recent years, especially heightened now with the pandemic on. It's really a pandemic in its own, just about. What does this bill address?
A whole bunch of different aspects. You know, there's three main issues with our system here in mental health. You know, it's not very profitable, so a lot of hospitals and clinics haven't put a lot of effort into it because the reimbursement rate from the government is really low on it. And most of the people that pursue treatment, a lot of them are on the government programs. So if they can't get paid enough, that would prohibit them from expanding that program. So a whole bunch of different aspects, but it mainly boils down to three things. How do we pay for it? How do we get more people into the profession? And then how do we get more access? And access would be for her kids all the way up to adults. You know, we heard horror stories of people waiting literally days to get into a bed in emergency rooms, just literally sitting there waiting to find somewhere to take their teenage kid to somewhere where they could get help.
Wow. Wow.
So we're trying to address that, and we got a bunch of different ideas, bipartisan, some governor's ideas, some Senator Isaacson's been working with me on something called urgency rooms, where it would be kind of a drop-in facility, like a 72-hour hold for young adults up to 25, so teenagers on up. So that we're trying. Hopefully we can get support and get it through.
Once again, we're talking with State Senator Rich Dreheim from District 20. You mentioned also you're working with, before we went on the air, you're working with Representative Todd Lippert on a, did I get this right, a one-house precinct within the new redistricting?
Yes, when the judges drew the redistricting maps, and of course my new district, you know, goes from Jordan all the way down to Iowa. kind of strange, but with drawing this, they kind of have a few little what did we do moments, and one of them is there's one house and one precinct that's all by itself. So we're trying to fix that. There is a way that the legislative body can come in and fix. In the past, you know, they've cut apartment buildings in half in the metro, where they draw a line literally right through an apartment.
Wow. All right. Well, good luck with that. Senator Dreheim, is there anything else that you'd like to mention while we have you on?
No, I appreciate the call, and look forward to talking to you next week. We do go on Easter break starting Saturday. So we will be on Easter break, but I will be around.
Okay. Well, we'll be glad to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us, and go Mavericks, huh?
Yep. Thank you.
All right. See you, Rich. State Senator Rich Dreheim from District 20 joins us every Monday during the legislative session right here on 95.1 The One. You've got local news with Rich coming up in a moment. M&N is next.
This is Jacob McQuiston from Northfield Ford Chrysler, and this is a public service announcement. We need your